You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hello.
Hello. Welcome to...
Welcome.
We stand together.
Oh my gosh. We're rusty, folks. We're rusty. But you've been listening this whole time, so you're not. But you know that we here at We Stand Together, it's a pop culture academic symposium. We're the pop culture professors. Smart people, dumb topics.
Now, we are the professors of pop culture because we have both taught college level courses and we're really into pop culture. So between our advanced degrees and our time in the classroom and our time watching television, we feel that we are professors of pop culture.
That's just the facts, folk. And this is our first recording since we've been in shelter in place. Thank you for listening to all the episodes that we had banked that were rolled out by our wonderful producer, Kate.
Shout out to More Banana Network.
1000%. So we're still learning this process. We hope all of our stands are safe and you are doing well with your mental health and physical health. And hopefully you have fun for the next hour listening to us.
Caitlin, I would love to know a little bit because I actually can't, I'm watching you on Zoom right now, but I'm not actually sure where your recording studio is because all I can see is that you're in downtown Nashville, according to your virtual background.
Mm-hmm. The virtual background is a liar. Mm-hmm. I am in my bedroom. I'm using a hamper for a desk.
That sounds a lot more luxurious. I'm in my closet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in my closet. I keep thinking someone's touching my shoulder and it's just a sweater.
Mm-hmm. And I can see it. And it's actually creepy from this end as well.
Yeah. So that's where we're at. But you know what? Just because we're sheltering in place and just because I'm in my closet doesn't mean that we're not keeping up with pop culture. To our stands, y'all know that we love to kick off each episode by catching up with each other and finding out what we're standing this week. And I would love to kick this off by just saying, I have never been more in love or more thankful for television than I have been during stay in place. And
you started pretty thankful.
I started pretty thankful. We all know that I was thankful, but I'm even more thankful. And I want to give a shout out to something new and something old, neither of which make me feel blue. But shout out to something new, Never Have I Ever, streaming now on Netflix. Love to see it. So good. So fun. So teen. And then shout out to former sci-fi television series Haven, which I had no idea about and I'm deeply and passionately in love with. It's got a badass lady cop and really hot dudes and Maine. So like, what's not to love?
Wow, that was probably the pitch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that's all I needed to hear. Caitlin, what are you standing right now?
Well, the stands know that I like to stay 4 or 5 years behind any hot topic. And so I've started reading the novels of Paula Hawkins. She wrote Girl on the Train, which was like the hottest book from 2015. And then her follow-up, Into the Water, I am currently reading. They're amazing. I've gotten them on Libby, which is an app I would like to recommend to the listeners. It's library on your phone. So if you have a library card, you can have access to their ebook library, which unfortunately is not every single book ever published, which threw me for a loop. Because I feel like if they're all out there, you should be able to get them. It's not how it works, unfortunately, but it still is great.
And speaking of books, anyone listening, you should know we've started a We Stan virtual book club. We meet bi-weekly, and we've been tearing through some of the greatest memoirs of Hollywood, and we're about to start dipping our toes into fiction. But if you're interested in being a part of the We Stand Together virtual book club, give us a follow on Instagram at We Stand Social, or send us an email at westandsocial@gmail.com to get hooked into the book club.
Everyone is welcome. We are having a grand old time over there, let me tell you. Something we are always standing, shelter in place or not, is 5-star reviews.
Yes.
And we got a new one rolling in from JW Crump. He says, I adore this show. Honestly, I'm a fan anytime smart folks talk about dumb topics. And just like the host proclaimed in the description, this is what the show is all about. There are some mind-blowingly funny moments. Thank you, JW. Wow.
That means a lot. Shout out to JW.
That's so good. If you want to hear your review read, you got to leave a 5-star review, and we stand that.
And somebody who I've given many 5-star reviews to is joining us today, and that is 5-star All-American Man, Brady O'Callaghan.
Woo! I wish I could say that's the very first time that I've ever been described that way. And I can. Thank you so much. I will cherish this forever.
Well, Lauren's already made a wish come true. Today, our topic is probably the most important topic we've ever covered in the history of this podcast, in the history of anything we've ever discussed. And we're going to be discussing the women of country music.
Yes.
This is an iconic, informative topic. But before we do that, we actually wanted to talk about a man, oddly enough, because this is our first time recording since a hero of mine, and I know Brady's, John Prine, has passed away due to COVID. And it seemed very fitting that we're talking about women in country music because he was such an amplifier of women's voices, almost always toured with a woman. And he's just the best. And it's really upsetting, and I don't know what to say. My heart goes out to his family. My heart goes out to all of the other fans. We're suffering.
Yeah. He recorded 2 whole albums of duets, just him and his favorite female singer-songwriters. Mm-hmm. They're both incredible albums.
We love it.
And his most favorite famous song is probably Angel from Montgomery, which is from the perspective of a middle-aged woman.
You gotta love it. You gotta love it. You gotta stand for it. You gotta recognize the greatness. Now, before we dive into our, you know, lesson today in the women of country, we always like to share with our listeners our credentials. Why are we, you know, why are we in a place where we feel we can inform the public on this? And so we've gathered together some credits. Caitlin, what are your credits? What gives you the, you know, license, if you will, to speak on the women of country music?
I think this is one of my more credentialed topics since my high school graduation was wide open spaces themed. And then at my wedding, my aunts and some other friends sang Fancy by Reba McEntire.
Okay, but you do own a lot of cowboy boots, right?
I have 5 pairs of cowboy boots that are about 6 feet away from me. We're socially distancing from the cowboy boots right now, but they're safe.
That's amazing. Well, as most of you already know, I grew up in Oklahoma, which is the birthplace of Reba McEntire. So I think this immediately gives me credentials. I will admit that growing up, I didn't want to love country music, but the older I get, the more I just truly give in. I have been to Dollywood, and I've also seen every episode of the TV show Nashville. So this makes me feel like I've got credentials. And then, of course,
I think so. And together.
Yeah, we do have our joint credentials.
Which is basically the first social thing we ever did together, really, was going to a Dolly Parton concert.
Yes, which was huge. And then also, Caitlin came with me to Oklahoma this past year to do a theater festival. And when we were there, we went out to Noble, Oklahoma, to my good friend Kim Locke's restaurant, Candles, which has the Oklahoma Women's Music Museum, which features all female country singers from Oklahoma.
Which Susie McEntire, Reba's sister, was in. And not yet Reba. She's not been inducted.
Not yet.
So
Caitlin made a point to tell me all about this place and send me several pictures.
Brady was with us in a way because I was documenting.
Yeah, as soon as we sat down and Caitlin clocked what was happening, she goes, I got to tell Brady. Which is what how we ended up with this episode, because from that moment on, we knew eventually we were going to have to do this episode, and you were the only person who we would dare ask to do this episode with us. What are your credentials, Brady?
Well, I'm so glad you asked. Credential number one, I'm wearing my Dolly Parton t-shirt that my buddy Justin back in Columbus, Ohio, found it at a little thrift, sent it my way because he knew that's exactly what I would want. What else? Oh, I would say about every other morning, Mary Chapin Carpenter posts a video of her performing one of her songs to Instagram. And I have watched every single one, and it's been one of the only things that brings me total calm and peace during this quarantine.
Absolutely. That's amazing.
That's all I need to know. You can teach this course.
Yep. I'm convinced.
Well, thank you so much.
Let's just get it rocking and rolling and countrying up with our first game. So this is a little spin on Name That Tune, Brady, but I'm calling it Name That Dang To Hell With All That Song. These are songs by female country artists, and each song's presiding theme is basically today is the last day of the bullshit. The future is a new life, which is an astoundingly common theme in country music by women.
Yep, for sure.
So let's hear that first one. You can just shout it out whenever you know it.
Oh, this is Jody Messina's Heads Carolina, Tails California.
Ding, 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 ding. 1 point Brady.
Amazing.
Wow, that pressure's on. I'm feeling nervous.
It is. It's nerve-wracking. It's nerve-wracking. And that was an easy one.
Oh,
that was an easy one, but we got 1 point. You know, you've done it. Let's hear the second one.
We all heard her hollering.
Oh, my God. What is this song?
Shows your complete lack of style. Well, she took out three parking meters and a pedestrian's purse. The day she quit the Baptist choir and threw that Ford into river.
I feel like it's on the tip of your tongue, Grady.
Martina?
Yes.
Nick
yes.
Fry.
Yes.
I'm blanking on the title.
You're halfway there.
Lock up your husband. Lock up your son.
Oh, God. Yeah, this.
Lock up your whiskey cabinets. Girls, lock up your guns.
Lock up your guns. She is really totally done with this. Whatever this is, that's happening to her.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
The title
of, what is the name of that song? I blank.
The title of this song is really just a description of who's singing it.
Women.
Well,
basically.
It's Martina McBride, you nailed that. It's when God-fearing women get the blues.
Okay. Yep.
Martina, I almost did my thesis on why is Martina not better known, but she is within country, but she's not a crossover
one of the best
artist.
Voices. In-
yeah.
Country music.
He's not a crossover artist. All right, let's hear the next one.
My girl, Mary Chapin Carpenter. He Thinks He'll Keep Her.
That's right. He Thinks He'll Keep Her by Mary Chapin Carpenter. You had that one in the bag. I already knew. Considering if you're watching her Instagram on the daily, absolutely amazing live performance on YouTube, folks. If you haven't seen it from 1993, it's her and many, many legendary women singing it. And probably the best song ever based on a coffee commercial.
Oh, yeah. I notoriously have told a bunch of people, like, I got to have you over. We're all going to watch this exact Women of Country CBS special. It's never happened.
Yes, you have.
This
that.
Is the time.
We'll promise that we will do this.
This is the time.
As soon as
to do
this
it.
Dang quarantine ends.
This feels like a prime Zoom hang, though. This feels like the kind of thing that you do virtually.
You know what? It could work that way for sure.
Or is this your, you know, your FedEx package in Castaway? Like, you need this.
Oh, good point. Good point. Good point.
But only you. But only answer. You can answer that.
I'm gonna sit with it for a while.
All right. All right. Okay. Let's hear the next song. You set this chicken
your last time, 'cause now I've got the pill. Oh, the pill. Yes, of course.
Yes. This day, the ultimate. This day is different. Political song from Loretta Lynn, The Pill. And let's hear our last one for this game. That's the way you've wanted me to be. I'll change if it takes that to make you happy. From now on, you're gonna see a different me. Because you're
I've never heard this in my
life. Really? A Brady premiere.
I love it, whatever it is. What is it?
It's Your Good Girl's Gonna Go Bad by Tammy Wynette.
I will admit, Tammy Wynette is a tiny bit of a blind spot.
Yeah, that does make sense. She passed away a while ago, so she's not continuing to do new music like Loretta, Dolly, Tanya, etc. But yeah, it's a great one. It's about how if you're going to be at the bar, I'm going to be there too. Mm. So those are just five of the songs that country women have written about how they're changing their life around.
Wow. And Brady, I've got to say, you passed this class in flying with flying colors. You got a 4.5 out of 5.
Well, I like that. I had a little bit of a study guide with y'all helping me out a little bit, but
well, look, the lyrics have the title in it sometimes. That's just how songs work, you know? Yeah,
for sure. Anyways, I just want to show y'all. I'm putting the essential Tammy Wynette on my Spotify right now. So
wow. He's doing extra
credit. See, even our guests, we're all students here, right? Our guests, us, we all learn on this show. That's what this show's all about. It's about learning and discovering.
You never stop learning. Never stop learning. The day you stop learning is the day you stop living.
Amen.
Thank you. On that note, we're just going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll be right back at you. Okay, we are back. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, I'm going to do my thesis. It was so hard to pick one for this episode. It was impossible. I don't know about you, Lauren, but like everything seemed too vast for what we're doing here. So this is probably like part one of 8 episodes on Women of Country. we're Ken Burnsing this. We can't. So I wanted to talk about like feminism in country, but that's like way too big. Even like revenge songs, that's too big. So I just wanted to focus on a very specific trend I noticed throughout country, throughout the ages. And it's a tool that female country musicians use, and they are not known for it, but it's the clapback. And I'm saying my thesis is this is the most important tool in country woman's revenge. And by clapback, I mean specifically, these are songs that are directed at either the country music industry or specific men in country. And country in general is very self-referential. Like tons of the songs will reference other songs or reference other artists. That's just a kind of an essential part of the medium. But I didn't realize until kind of diving in how much women responding to men was a part of it. So let's kick it off. 1952 with Kitty Wells. It wasn't God who made Honky Tonk Angels. So this is a song from almost 70 years ago, and I was familiar with the song. I feel like I've grown up with the song, and I'd never really investigated what the song it was responding to sounds like. Do you guys know The Wild Side of Life by Hank Thompson at all?
No.
I only really knew it from the Cocaine and Rhinestones podcast.
Well, yes, shout out to them. Let's hear it, because it surprised me. No God made honky tonk. fully the same song.
I might have known you'd never make a wife.
So for those that haven't heard exhaustively either version, the original song, Hank Thompson's The Wild Side of Life, is basically about falling in love with a girl at the honky-tonk, and she cannot commit to domestic life, and part of it is God made honky-tonk angels. And Kitty Wells claps back saying, "It is not God who makes honky-tonk angels, and too often married men forget they're not single." So it's from the wife's perspective. Iconic. Ooh. Kitty Wells is also in that Mary Chapin Carpenter video, as mentioned before. Another reason to check it out. So this is from 1952. And then here is a very recent example from 2014. It's Maddie and Tay, Girl in a Country Song. So this is sort of it's a direct reaction to Florida Georgia Line and Blake Shelton songs, which are referenced specifically in the lyrics. I also thought it was interesting that some of the lyrics of Girl in a Country Song highlight, like, we used to have so much. So it's basically from Maddie and Tay's perspective, I guess, feeling like 2014 female country music isn't as strong as it once was. Which I thought was kind of interesting, especially since you have like super political songs like The Pill, which we've already mentioned. I will say I did watch the music video for this. It is not great, and I do not endorse. Maddie and Tay, they look great. They're great. But then they hit a reversal switch, and the men of the video are like the, I guess, like hot girls from the other country videos, but it's very much like a little gender normative and a little played for laughs. And it's not great. Maddie and Tay, let's redo that one. That's
we'll
easy.
Give me another shot for
I'll watch another video.
Love the song. Let's just work on those visuals.
Yeah. You know what? If you want to bring us in, we will do it.
How would you fix it? Like, really, off the top of your head, what's the fix?
I think one thing is they are talking about being a girl in the country song, but strangely, they also have other models there that are girls in the country. I think they should be the girls in the country song that, like, take it back immediately. Like, the girls from the video, like, start singing. I don't think you need to see men, I don't think you need to do a switch. It's more just about... not
show me,
over
don't tell me
sexualizing anyone that doesn't want it.
Okay,
but I'm you know what? That's just great. One idea. We could
greenlit.
Oh wow. Okay, great. Thank you. This next one is less of a specific response to one person or a few bands, but really to the entire country music industry. But maybe specifically Toby Keith. This is Dixie Chicks, Not Ready to Make Nice. That one is like still very visceral to me. I don't know what you guys feel. Like, it's just, it makes me sad. They still really have not been ready to make nice. Like, they really aren't a part of country music anymore in that same way. I think it's a bummer, but I don't have a solution to that one.
Yeah. And how wild that their album finally drops when like we're all sheltering in place.
It's crazy. Their ride it's been a roller coaster.
Well, I think the thing with them, their like ultimate revenge is that, like, they're still not like welcome back in this country scene, but like women in like country radio generally kind of aren't right now. So a lot of women in country make the jump to make more pop centric records and have breakthrough success that way.
It is it is going to be interesting as you have a generation of artists that grew up with like the Dixie Chicks are their Dolly, are their Loretta, like how that affects things. And you know what? I wish Toby Keith didn't have as good of a voice as he does, but man, he does. What do we do about that?
Feels so good.
Another Oklahoman. What deal did Oklahoma make with the devil?
There's just not a ton to do, so you can master your art real quick.
So everyone just practices vocals.
It's true. Like, you know, we got time on our hands in wide open spaces. Yeah. So.
And you're a good singer, too. I don't know. I feel like something's up there. We're going to have to investigate. But yeah, I mean, this song, you know, the whole album famously won a Grammy. Big clap back. And they don't need to be a part of the country music establishment at all. I just would like to see them at a CMA once in a while. So the next one, a little bit of a tone shift. This is Tanya Tucker's Bring My Flowers Now.
Bring my flowers now while I'm living.
Lauren's laughing at me for playing this at all.
I won't need your love.
Lauren's mad. Lauren's
tears and money.
Lauren's leaving.
My own breathless body.
This is a clapback.
If your heart is in them flowers.
Okay, we don't need to hear any more of the song, Lawrence. She said it is about how, or in part about how, the industry does not honor veteran musicians while they're here. So I'm saying it's a clapback, and it's great.
Yeah.
Is that true, though?
Is it true that the song's about... Oh, is it true that they do that? Oh, I mean, look.
I feel like the country music scene, more than any artistic scene, honors the veterans.
I agree with you, but I also think it's every country music artist, male, female, of any age, to claim that they are underrepresented. Like, that's fundamentally part of the culture, is to claim that nobody likes you.
I also think that country music is like one of the only genres of music that has people in their 70s still making records and like that are hitting the charts, you know?
Fully, yeah. Fully. I may have misunderstood what she meant, but I also love just Tanya and I wanted to put her in there.
She's great. I saw her when she came through and she talked specifically about like the Grammys and how when she went, you know, back at the height of her career and like didn't win or something, she felt like totally disrespected and was like, fuck the Grammys, I'm never going back. And this was her just kind of saying, well, maybe I'll go back.
Well, Tanya Tucker too, like she was the halftime act at the Super Bowl like many years ago. Like, yeah. I think people forget what level of superstardom she was at. And I think you're right. I think she had a little bit like, I'm going to take my toys and go home attitude. And then she's like, well, I mean, I'll come back. But I will do the Super Bowl again if you ask. All right, this one I have this. If you thought that one was controversial, wait till this one because I feel like some people are not going to like this. I'm calling this a clap forward.
Has to go.
Lauren's furious. Brady's not happy either.
What is happening? What circle of hell have we entered? Absolutely not.
All right. Okay. So here's my theory on that one. It's what I'm calling a clap forward.
It's
impossible for it to be a clap back. She never had a song before it. And she claims to, that was Taylor Swift, Tim McGraw, by the way. She claims to have written this in math class. That's almost certainly a lie. I do think almost it's, to me, this proves my point though, because I think Taylor Swift can sort of, Taylor Swift being whatever team Taylor Swift is, we'll take that, not just the person, is really good at like reading the algorithm of like what works in music and inserting himself. So I feel like the first single was Tim McGraw. Like, we're instantly inserting ourselves in this tapestry and it worked. She's a megastar. But I will say this, when I think Tim McGraw, I do not think of her.
No.
So she was not successful in that way. So. You agree. Okay, you both agree.
You're just going to like drop that song and be like, let's keep going.
No, you're both just very happy that I brought up Taylor Swift.
Maybe not even in the top 10 things I think of when you say Tim McGraw. But
no, I always think "Don't Take the Girl," and then I think about that for an hour, and then I'm just distracted. So our final entry is, it's leading me to a discussion question. Let's hear the final one. We know it. We love it. Ooh. All right. Okay. So this is a discussion question. So is Dolly Parton's "I Will Always Love You" an alternative "Kill Them With Kindness" kind of clapback? Because this is written for Porter Wagoner as she's leaving the show. He's very unhappy that she's leaving the show. And I don't think ever really forgave her. But she kind of got ahead of the story by writing one of the best songs of all time. What do you think of that?
Didn't he, like, he refused to let her leave the show, and then she wrote him the song, played it for him, and he was like, well, this is a hit. And didn't he, like, get involved in the publishing with it somehow?
Oh, I'm not sure about that. Possible.
I might not be thinking that right, but...
I know that Elvis was supposed to record this song, but he gets half of publishing rights of everything he records, or did, or does. Elvis is still alive, and she refused that.
For those of us that are not in advanced studies in the women of country music, what show are you referring to?
The Porter Wagoner Show, which was a variety show hosted by Porter Wagoner. And it was basically how she was introduced to America. Was she was the girl, like the sidekick. And she was a burgeoning, you know, megastar, and she didn't want to stay on the show. And he was like super angry. She wrote this, and the first performance of it is on the Porter Wagoner Show. It is for him. It's for a co-host, which I obviously extra love the song, but it is basically like from Kathy Lee to Regis.
Oh, wow. This is the 11 o'clock number when we finally write the Kathy Lee and Regis musical.
We finish it.
Finish it. Sorry. You're right.
Kathy Lee had some notes on our last draft. We're writing it for them as actors to play themselves.
Yeah, I like your take. I think it's an inverse clapback. That sounds right.
It does seem like her just being like, look, I'm sweet, but you're really trying my patience. So I'm going to try to lay it on real thick.
Yeah. It's like, I'm going to write a generational hit. And then what are you going to do? Not much.
Try
not
to get much. In on those publishing rights, you know?
Those publishing rights. I am sorry we did not get to hear the Elvis version. That's a damn shame. But if we had, we wouldn't have had the Whitney. So life.
Who do you think is going to be the next person brave enough to really put their stink on this?
That's an excellent question.
And have it, like, matter, you think?
Yeah, have it be good.
Have it be good.
Or a hit, let's say.
Yeah. Like, is there anyone working today who is going to be brave enough to reinterpret this song in a way that could have any sort of impact?
The only person that comes to mind is maybe Frank Ocean.
Oh, interesting. Wow.
Why Frank? What makes you say Frank?
Because I think he wouldn't do just like a straight up cover of it. I think he would interpret it in his own style, which there might even be a different meaning in it that way. And I think he just has the artistic integrity to really put some stink on it.
I just want to let everyone know that our producer just direct messaged us saying that Demi Lovato could do it, and I'm worried about her, and I wish we were in the same room. I'm interested in hearing it, but
she's a good singer. I don't know what her like take on it would be.
That's the thing, is it would sound technically proficient, but there's not going to be a take on that song. But Caitlin would like us to know that Demi is a queen.
No arguments. I do worry Ed Sheeran will think to do it.
I was thinking, I'm worried that he might do it. That was in my brain.
And I like Ed Sheeran, but this is not where we need you. And good luck with your own thing. If you're listening, Ed Sheeran, and you are.
You just saying that just popped a fully realized Ed Sheeran version of this song in my head. And now I can't escape the thought that it's on its way.
No, it's a whole album where he like covers like Dolly songs.
Ed.
Yeah. And it's called like Backwoods Ken or something.
And it's a hit. It's a big hit. Well, at least we know, you know, we here at We Stand University now can prepare for that to happen.
Because yeah, so everyone order some extra chocolate to prepare for the windstorm that's going to be the depression that hits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Children think Ed Sheeran wrote that song.
Wow. Oh, okay. Whoa. All right. That's scary for me. All right. Well, thank you for listening to my thesis. We got to move on to our second game.
Yeah. We have a great game coming up. Brady, we know that you're so whip smart when it comes to country music. So we want to put that to the test. And we have a little game called Hollywood or Nashville. And we have curated a playlist of songs. And some of them are legitimate country bangers. And some of them are characters from film and TV pretending to be country stars. So you've got to guess if you're listening to a real bona fide country hit.
Nashville.
Or
Nashville.
A fictitious country hit.
Hollywood. So you don't have to name the song. You just have to say Hollywood or Nashville.
Okay, here we go.
Here we go. Let's hear song number one.
What are you thinking?
What do you think? Hollywood or Nashville?
Gut says Hollywood.
Yes, that is
and
correct.
And your gut is correct.
It is Summer Girl as sung by Leighton Meester in Country Strong.
But I will stand by the fact that this song is a certified banger.
All right. This world's gone crazy. Grandpa,
take me back to yesterday. Nashville.
Nashville.
Yeah.
Grandpa by the Judds. We had to mention the Judds.
Yeah. And the Judds are always flirting that line between Nashville and Hollywood. You know, they got that Hollywood legacy.
And the Ashley Judd connection.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's keep on rolling into that third clip. Low, lay low, watch the bridges burn.
I lay low. Nashville. Lay low. Is this Hollywood?
It's a Hollywood.
It's a confusing.
But it's confusing because it is the song Black Roses sung by Claire Bowen on the TV show Nashville.
So really, and both answers are correct.
I gotta watch Nashville. She's got pipes, man.
Oh my God. Yes. So this is the thing, and I almost did my whole thesis on it, but I was like, I'm just going to mention it during the game. But Nashville is one of the, it's so underrated, and the music is so legitimately good. It's just so good. They are one of, the cast is so good. And Claire Bowen, wherever you are, damn, she's fire. Everything she spit on that show was fire.
Amaze. All right, next.
Hollywood?
What is it? Yes.
Well, you know, it's the hoedown throwdown from Hannah Montana.
Oh my God.
So it's Hollywood and Nashville in a way. It's the best of both worlds.
We can't talk country without giving a shout out to Hannah Montana.
Yeah, that's Dolly's goddaughter.
It is. Miley Cyrus. All right, let's keep rocking and rolling.
It is Nashville.
It is Romeo by Dolly Parton. A B-side, if you will, of her whole career, but a banger.
We just wanted to remind people that song was out there
for them.
And
it features Billy Ray Cyrus. And it's kind of, even though Miley was already born by the time this song, it's kind of her origin story, I feel. 100%. Like, if you watch this video, you're like, this is Miley's entire essence came from this video.
That tracks. All right, we got two more songs for you.
I might just hesitate. This is Nashville.
Yes. The queen of Nashville. as she is married to the king, Trisha Yearwood. X's and O's.
Love it. Love it.
It's one of my favorite songs.
It's a great one. And similar to Grandpa, it's about just trying to make it today. It's hard.
Yep.
Brady, you're crushing this. You're 7 for 7.
And this last one, is a curveball.
Hit me with it. Hey, you were wrong. Oh my God. Is this some weird Nashville track where someone's trying to be experimental on their album?
That's not wrong. It's not right, but it's not wrong. We can really accept any answer of Hollywood or Nashville, but the real correct answer is Arlen. This is Chuck Mangione's song, Peggy Hill.
Oh my God. Jesus.
That is the song that he wrote. It's about Peggy Hill.
That's, yeah, incredible.
On that note, we're just going to take a quick commercial break.
Ooh, I feel refreshed. Do y'all feel refreshed?
Yeah.
Feel so good.
Awesome. Well, I have an important thesis to share with you all today. And it is something that it's really from my heart. And I share this thesis with you today out of a place of concern. I see a problem and I want to be part of the solution, because I think, you know, a lot of us today can look around the world and see problems, but we're seldom offering solutions. And so I want to do my community service and I want to be civically minded. And so today I offer you the thesis, Gwen Stefani cannot be a country diva. We must save her from herself.
Wow.
Now for anyone listening who needs to be reminded who Gwen Stefani is, well, she's a singer, she's a songwriter, she's an actress, she's a record producer and a fashion designer. She hit the scene as the front woman of No Doubt, but has also had an epic solo career. Her music stylings include pop, R&B, electronica, ska, new wave, rock, with her biggest hits remaining to this day, Don't Speak with No Doubt, followed closely by the solo record, The Sweet Escape, which featured Akon.
Amazing.
She has a long career of bangers. And just to sort of like set the tone so that we're all sort of on the same place, I want to play a clip of one of my favorite Gwen Stefani songs. So if you can roll that clip. How you doing? It ruins it. Now you lose. This is what happens when you're living with no consequence. The signs, the signs, the signs, the signs. Big mistake. Reflex cry. So this is a little joint called Red Flag that she dropped when she was going through what can only be described as a gut-wrenching divorce from Bush's frontman, Gavin Rossdale. Which leads me to why I'm worried she's going country in the first place. So for those who have been living under a rock or maybe in their closets, Gwen Stefani, after her painful divorce, which I took very personally, I felt like I was a child being abandoned by my parents when I found out Gavin and Gwen were splitting. But she since found love with country music superstar Blake Shelton.
Yeah.
And I love that they have found love again. You know, he had his heart broken. She had her heart broken. I'm glad they found each other. But unfortunately, being with Blake has opened a door to country music to Gwen, and now things like this are happening. If you could play clip number two. But that ain't gonna work for me. I don't wanna live without you. I don't wanna even breathe. I don't wanna dream about you. I'll be honest, I kind of like this song, I Don't Wanna Live Without You, the duet with Blake and Gwen. Of course I do. She's talented. He's talented. But the thing is, and this is what I want to make really clear to Gwen Stefani, who I know is listening right now, just because you can do something doesn't mean we should.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
Like, yeah, I'm sure she would sound great on any number of different albums, but I'm not interested in Gwen Stefani covers jazz standards. I'm not interested in Gwen Stefani sings, you know, the hits of Broadway. I want her to stay in her lane, and I really need her to stay in her lane. But I am worried because I know she spent a lot of time down in Oklahoma with Blake. Mm. They've actually been quarantined. They've been doing their stay in place down in Oklahoma.
Wow.
And, you know, I grew up there, so I know it can be really seductive, and you're going to want to put on the cowboy boots because they're cool. I get it. I wish I was a country diva, but I know that I'm not. I know that I'm not. And I guess this is more of a plea than a thesis, but I just need Gwen to know that we're all hanging on by very thin threads right now in this world. And the last thing I need is for her to rebrand herself, right? So I guess I'm wondering if anyone else is as concerned as I am. Should I be concerned? Brady, Caitlin, what do you think? Should I be concerned about her going country or what?
I think you're right to be concerned. The quarantining in Oklahoma, that's surprising also because she has three children, as we know. So typically, if you're in a relationship and one person has kids, that person sort of gets to set the table as far as, let's say, where we're quarantining. It's interesting. If she's going to follow him to Oklahoma, what else is she following him? I think you're right to be concerned.
I also, out of just concern for her,
absolutely,
her getting into country music is only going to open up comparisons to Blake's ex-beau, mm-hmm. Miranda Lambert,
who yes.
is kind of top of the tops in women in country right now. Sweetheart, Gwen, you ain't got a chance.
Yeah, I think it's clicky in Nashville. I just, you know, they're going to be Team Miranda, and that's just how they have to be. That's their girlfriend, you know? So
even if it's like, you know, Gwen might be dating the quarterback, but Miranda is still the captain of the cheerleading squad.
100%. And cheerleading is a sport. So.
And the art freaks need Gwen. We need her in drama club.
Yeah.
Like, we need her. I'm just concerned because I'll be honest, as much as I love and respect and revere Gwen, and I really do, she has always been led by the men in her life, I think, just a little bit. Because, you know, famously, she dated her bandmate in No Doubt.
Tony Canal.
And she met Gavin Rossdale on tour. And so I feel like her love life and her creative life have always been connected. Mm-hmm. And I guess I'm just saying, ladies, remember, just because you love a man doesn't mean you have to let him lead you.
Right.
You know, you can... You know, evolution is a part of life, and I love that she's learning about country music, but you don't want to lose yourself.
Well, sometimes it feels like we've learned nothing from Runaway Bride. You
know? Thank you so much. Thank you for bringing it up.
Because Richard Gere would ask all those men, how did Julia Roberts take her eggs when they were dating? It was different with every guy. And eggs are the music for Gwen Stefani.
Wow. Brady, now, because you know so much about music, what career advice would you tell? We're telling Gwen what not to do. We're telling her to stay in her lane. But do you have any other advice about how Gwen can really make sure she's not getting compared to Miranda in a way that's going to negatively impact her?
I think she's got to bring Blake into her music. Let her take charge.
I think so, too. I think I could hear ska, Blake.
I say on me. I'd be interested in that, Blake.
Yeah. Shelton go ska. I'm into that. I like that plan.
Maybe it's just a Christopher Guest, Jamie Lee Curtis like thing where it's like, let's be great and stay in our own lanes.
That's what I really want. Like, I would love for them. I love that they're introducing each other and like, let it inspire you. But like, the last thing I want or need right now is for the two of them to get so bored in quarantine, they do a whole album of duets.
Oh dear.
You know what? They can do a Christmas record. I would let that slide.
Well, she just did a Christmas album.
Oh, well, that's all.
I guess it didn't make a big fresh.
Fresh.
Yeah. Brady's a big Christmas guy and a big music guy, and it didn't hit.
Get across my radar.
I guess my final thought is this, and if you want to go ahead and play that last clip for me. This is Gwen's song, Why'd You Make Me Like You, which is the song that she released right before letting the world know that her and Blake had fallen in love. And so my thing is, Gwen, please cut more cute pop bops about how happy you are with Blake. Just stay out of Nashville. professional.
Call Akon.
Call Akon. Call Fetty Wrap.
What is Akon up to? Has he done something recently?
It's been a minute. I would love to know where he's sheltering in place, too.
You know, he's originally from Jersey City, where I live. So I'll go out at a safe distance tomorrow and look for him.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hang a sign on your window. Anyone seen Akon?
Yeah. And I'll just put, like, my Instagram or something. People can DM me.
That's perfect.
That sounds perfect.
So, you know, we're wrapping up a Women in Country episode discussing Akon, which is, that's how influential these women are. That's how many lives they touch. Any final thoughts on Women in Country music?
Brady, what do you think our listeners need to know about the women of country music? What's the most important lesson they can take away?
The most important lesson that they could take away is that women have always been powerful, important voices in country music, and recently have been pushed aside for all the good old boys on radio. But women are strong as ever. They're out there making incredible music. Margo Price, Nikki Lane, Miranda Lambert, the high women,
mm-hmm,
they're
mm-hmm.
all over the place, making some of the best music out there these days. So don't discount them.
Absolutely.
And if anyone listening to this show, for some reason, listened the whole episode, and they're a little resistant to country music still, what do you think, what's the best entry point to get hyped about women of country music?
A good entry point.
Like, you know, when people say like, oh, I don't really like to drink beer. And you're like, yeah, try this beer. What's that? But with country music,
honestly, I think it's probably easier to convince people, that like older country music is more authentic and cool. Cause you know, like, yeah, Johnny Cash, what a badass or whatever. I would say get yourself some Loretta Lynn.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Coal Miner's Daughter. Check out the song Fist City by Loretta Lynn. If that doesn't make you love country music, you might never love country music.
But you might end up in Fist City.
Or you could end up in Akon City in Senegal, which Akon apparently founded in January 2020. Thank you for the information, Producer Kate.
I'm glad he's doing well.
So, Brady, for those who have fallen in love with you during this episode and they want to stan you, where can they stan you? How do they find you?
Wow, you can stan me on Twitter and Instagram at Brady O'Callahan. Yeah, check me out there.
And you have a newsletter about music.
I do have a newsletter about music. I decided in 2020 I'm going to make a mixtape a month. Just released one yesterday that was all like old-timey bluegrass and like singing cowboy music songs for the prairie, essentially.
Yeah,
amazing. So sign up for that on his social. Brady, this has been a GD delight.
I truly forgot what we were doing 90% of this episode and was just excited to be listening to music
this
with
is
such
great
fun people.
I might reconsider getting that Women of Country Zoom going.
There you go. There you go. We're changing lives.
All right. Well, we've been We Stan Together. You've been amazing. If you keep up with us on social media, we're at We Stan Social on Instagram, on Twitter, on the TikTok. And we want to hear from you. What topics do you want us to dive into? Or what clapbacks do you have for us? Let us know.
And leave us a 5-star review. And until then, we are We Stan
Together.